All right, let me jump on into the opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue brought to you every single day by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. And Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. Okay, let me just say this. Democrats are in sore need of somebody who will have a grown-up conversation with them. Seriously. You know, the kind of conversation where the truth hurts, but it still needs to be said. The kind of conversation that doesn't accept, you know, cheesy excuses and finger-pointing and actually requires them to take some measure of responsibility for their actions. Yesterday, during the show, we talked about the Democrats that bum-rushed the gate at the ICE detention facility in Newark, New Jersey, resulting in several arrests, by the way. And then they promptly went on CNN and tried lamely to blame ICE for their actions. Today, in a segment that we'll do here in a few minutes, I'll outline, you'll be surprised, yet maybe not surprised, to hear that there are two Soros-funded groups that are suing the Trump administration trying to stop their efforts by cracking down on child trafficking. I mean, come on. Never mind that the Dems under the Biden administration literally lost 300,000 immigrant children that we still haven't found. Or how about Bernie Sanders flying on private jets all over the nation to give speeches in what he calls the raised against the oligarchy speeches. Just rage against the oligarchy. Or former Representative Jamal Bowman, who pulled the fire alarm in the Capitol trying to keep Republicans from voting on a major piece of reform legislation. Then he tried to pretend. He didn't really know what he was doing. I mean, these and more are all childish behaviors. They really are. They are childish behaviors. It's like we're watching an episode of The Little Rascals with Spanky and Alfalfa trying to get one over on Buckwheat and then look surprised when the plan backfires. Somebody has got to get the Democrats by the scruff of the neck, sit them down, and have a grown-up conversation. Reminds me of a situation that I had, a personal situation in Baghdad. There was actually a book written about my battalion in Baghdad. The book's called The Devil's Sandbox. The subtitle was The 2nd Battalion, 162nd Infantry at War in Iraq. And the author is a guy named John Bruning. I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I remember him being a really good guy who had a desire to tell my battalion story. So I'm in the book in a couple of places, but not like you might imagine. Nothing about the cordon and searches, the raids, and the other operations we did. Nothing about getting mortared, shot at, or having car bombs go off next to my convoy. Nothing about me walking the streets of Baghdad at 3 a.m. to breach doors and sweep sectors of militia activity. None of that. Nope. My chief cameo in the book deals with garbage. Garbage. I kid you not. But here's the deal. Before you laugh at this, consider this. It was 2004. It was the height of the Shia uprising. The summer heat was upwards of 120 degree plus. And the civilian populace, even in Iraq, can get cranky really fast when it gets really hot. And all the more so when essential services in a city of 5 million people are falling apart. You had rolling blackouts, intermittent water flow, damaged and outdated sewer systems, and yes, garbage. You combine all of that with the heat and the fog of war, it can get volatile in a real hurry. Well, the trash had reached epic points and the whole city stunk of rotting garbage. I don't mean a little bit. I mean, I'm talking about the streets were lined with piles that were bigger than cars of just garbage, rotting garbage. It was bad. But y'all, this is a major metropolitan city. It wasn't like this vast Middle Eastern city didn't have garbage trucks and landfills. They did. But the whole fleet of garbage trucks was missing in action. 25 trucks missing. The drivers had actually stolen them, and they were acting as independent contractors. If you pay me, I will take your trash. But they never took it to landfills. They would get paid bribes to fill up their trucks, drive to a spot of their own choosing in another neighborhood that was poor, and then dump it out in piles as big as houses sometimes. I'm talking about piles as big as houses next to houses. Just choosing to do another neighborhood with dumps and then go back and collect for money in another neighborhood. In the heat. And the mood of the populace got worse every time. And at one point I told my commander that we had to address it or his area of operations was going to get worse and worse. And he agreed. He agreed. And so with the help of an Iraqi man whose job was essential services, we came up with what I called Operation Oscar, believe it or not. Operation Oscar after Sesame Street's Oscar the Grouch who lived in the trash can. So we had the director of city services from Baghdad send word out to all the old drivers that if they would just show up at a certain time with their trucks, the U.S. military would reward them with new benefits. Well, they all showed up all right, trucks and all. At least 24 of them did. 24 out of 25, that's not bad. 24 of them parked inside the gate, just eager to please. And then I rolled up with a platoon of infantry and we locked the gate. Chapter 23 of the book is titled Operation Oscar. So here's an excerpt from the book, and I'm just going to read it to you. It said, Major Williams stared hard at the garbage men standing in ranks before him. The Rasafa sanitation engineers had long since ceased to function as an effective community asset. Instead, the men drew a public paycheck every week and then picked up trash only in the neighborhoods that would offer them bribes. After hours, they kept their trucks, used them as personal vehicles, even taxis, to supplement their incomes. And the triple dipping was about to stop. It says, Williams began his speech by saying, in a recent public health survey of 200 major cities, Baghdad ranked 200th in public sanitation. And then Williams paused, pointed straight at the assembly of garbage men and said, and it's your entire fault. The Iraqis looked like they'd been slapped. The speech hit a nerve. Arabic pride was at stake. And Williams continued by saying, and we're going to help you fix that. We got ID cards for you. We've developed routes for you. And from now on, any garbage truck seen outside of its assigned route is going to be recorded and the driver will be fired. I found the 25th truck a few weeks later. He was actually being paid by U.S. military to collect trash in the green zone. I dragged him out of the driver's seat at gunpoint and got the truck returned to the city. That was what might be called a very one-sided adult conversation. They had to hear something they didn't want to hear. Now, granted, they heard it at the working end of a loaded firearm. But here's the thing. Garbage? Yes, garbage. But what I really had were a bunch of grown men who were refusing to be the adults in the room. I mean, really. How hard is it simply to recognize that something's not right, not mature, not acceptable, and just choose to do the right thing? Or how about if I take that one step further? How hard is it simply to be the one guy, just the one guy in the group who dares to look at the other garbage truck drivers in the eye and say, we got to stop doing this? Well, apparently it's pretty hard for some. But here's the deal. Take that example, move it forward to where we are right now. We're seeing that in our current state of politics. Common sense is often taking a back seat to convenience. The quick opportunity is secondary to the exploitation of the gullible enough to fall for it. Democrats prefer DEI and mandate the use of pronouns, especially things like they, them, contrary to the grammatically correct requirements of the English language. Someone please be the adult in the room and say no. Or how about liberals who prefer to call the mutilation and reimagining of kids as mere gender-affirming treatments? Well, let's stop pretending that in some way it's affirming. It's a sex change procedure, plain and simple, and you're doing it to minors. Minors who are not allowed by law to vote, drink alcohol, have relations with adults, join the military, or even drive. Somebody, please, be the adult in the room and tell them it's wrong and it has to stop. How many Democrats, I don't know, parroted the talking point the last few years that the border was secure? It was not. The world knows it was not. All God's children could see it was not. At the very least, could somebody in the Democrat Party have been the adult in the room that said, let's all just quit lying and just tell them we prefer to have open border policies and be done with it? But they couldn't. Because they couldn't have the grown-up conversation. Look, I could go on and on about the gaslighting from the Democrat left. The gaslighting of America by the progressive left and their lackeys in the Democrat Party. Ongoing examples of an inability to talk like adults right now comes from a lack of moral character. It's a lack of leadership. It's a lack of principles. It's bigger than politics. It really is. At every level of society, in social settings, in church, in business, in schools, on sports teams, certainly in politics, we need more people who are willing to be the adult in the room. Look, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, even our adversaries, and yes, our politicians in the eye, and tell them that wrong is still wrong and that things they're doing have to stop. Because y'all, if we're going to be respected on the world stage, if we're going to be the city on a hill, if we're going to be the people who say that we know right from wrong, well, guess what? It's about maturity then. It's about saving our own little piece of the world. And the left, holy cow, the left needs to have some more grown-up conversations. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.